C3 FMs that are limited to 25 kilowatts. So mostly for small rural stations or if to fit small stations in urban areas. The opposition on this issue is mostly from current broadcasters who fear more stations will clutter the FM band and perhaps remove existing FM translators from the airwaves or block new translators for both AM and FM stations. So far, the FCC has only issued a notice of inquiry on the proposal, but a notice of proposed rulemaking may come this year. Read more about this full story at the Broadcast Law Blog. Go to wavefarm.org for more radio news. This is the WGXC Congressional Report, tracking the votes, statements, positions, and campaigns of the representatives and candidates for the 18th, 19th, 20th, and 21st congressional seats in New York. Current Democratic Representative Paul Tonko from the 20th District votes with the positions of President Joe Biden 100% of the time, according to the 538.com website. Republican Elise Stefanik, currently representing the 21st District, votes with Biden's positions 19.3% of the time. Democrat Pat Ryan just began representing the 19th Congressional District and has yet to be included in the 538 rankings. Ryan will represent the 18th Congressional District in January, when Republican Mark Molinaro takes over representing the 19th Congressional District.
Joshua Solomon reports in the Times Union that almost 2 weeks after the New York Times uncovered an extreme list of lies from Long Island Congressman-elect George Santos, Representative Elise Stefanik still has not made any comment about her new fellow Republican representative. There are now multiple investigations into the background of the newly elected congressperson and the sources of his personal wealth and campaign funds. Santos has also lied about his mother's death, claiming it had something to do with the 9/11 attack, falsely claimed that his grandparents, and I quote, survived the Holocaust, end quote, and falsely claimed he was half black. Last May, Stefanik tweeted a photo with Santos following a campaign fundraiser. She wrote, and I quote, wow, great lunch event. George has my complete and total endorsement, and come November, New Yorkers will send George to Congress, end quote. Another Republican congressperson, Mark Molinaro, who was elected for the 19th Congressional District, briefly commented on the issue, telling the Democrat and Chronicle that, and I quote, this revelation from my colleague is disappointing and distracts from the important work ahead of us, end quote. You can read the full story in the Times Union. Kevin McCarthy did not get enough support in his first vote to become Speaker of the House of Representatives on January 3rd. But McCarthy did get the votes of local Republican representatives Elise Stefanik and Mark Molinaro. Stefanik even nominated McCarthy, a California Republican who was minority leader, but did not get enough votes to become Speaker of the House. Here is an excerpt of Stefanik's nomination speech.
This new Republican majority will stand up for an economy that's strong, a nation that's safe, a future that's built upon freedom, and a government that's accountable to the people.
The final vote had a Democrat in the lead as Hakeem Jeffries got all 212 Democratic votes. Republicans split their votes between McCarthy with 203, followed by ultra-conservative Andy Biggs with 10, Jim Jordan from Ohio with 6 votes, Jim Banks from Indiana with 1 vote, New York's Lee Zeldin with 1 vote, and Byron Donalds of Florida with 1 vote. To become Speaker, 218 votes are needed. Stefanik represents the 21st Congressional District, which now includes Rensselaer County, and Molinaro just took office from the 19th Congressional District. Local Democrats Pat Ryan from the 18th Congressional District and Paul Tonko of the 20th Congressional District both voted for Jeffries. Now the House of Representatives will continue to hold votes for the Speaker position until someone gets the 218-vote majority. No other business will be done in the House of Representatives until a speaker is chosen. Since Republicans only have a 4-vote majority and lots of internal divisions, it could take many votes for a speaker to emerge. A second vote for Speaker of the House happened right after the first vote failed, but that also ended with McCarthy failing to get the 218 needed votes. Patricia R. Doxey reports in the Daily Freeman that Democrat Pat Ryan and Republican Mark Molinaro are swearing they will both work across the aisle in Congress if they can ever be sworn in to their new roles. Ryan was sworn in last summer. replacing Democrat Antonio Delgado for the final weeks of his term in the 19th congressional district. But then, because of redistricting, Ryan won the 18th congressional district in the fall's election, and Molinaro won the 19th district seat. Now, though, the Republican majority in the House of Representatives has over and over again failed to elect the Speaker of the House, and no other business, including swearing in members, can happen until a Speaker is chosen. Ryan said, and I quote, "It's definitely disappointing Republicans can't seem to come together at a time when clearly we've got to come together and work to restore trust in our democracy. I'm just trying to get sworn in and do my job," end quote. Ryan also addressed working with the four-vote Republican majority. He said, and I quote, "We may appear more divided than ever, but it is my job first and foremost to serve the Hudson Valley. I'll work with anyone, regardless of party, who wants to serve their constituents and get things done. And I'll never hesitate to call out those who dishonor this institution and this country. The stakes are too high right now for anything else," end quote. Molinaro also said he will work with Republicans and Democrats to deliver, and I quote, "common sense results that will create economic opportunity, address our crumbling infrastructure, and improve public safety," end quote. Read more about this story in the Daily Freeman. Kenneth C. Crow II reports in the Times Union that Rensselaer County officials said on January 4th, Representative Elise Stefanik plans to open a district office in Rensselaer County's new office building on Route 4. Stefanik, a Saratoga County Republican, now represents Rensselaer County after political boundaries shifted last year. Stefanik's new office in East Greenbush will open next month. County Executive Steve McLaughlin said in a statement that, and I quote, "This will help expand convenience and access to important services for our residents by having Congresswoman Stefanik's offices in Rensselaer County," end quote. Stefanik now represents all of Rensselaer County except the cities of Troy and Rensselaer and half of the town of North Greenbush. Read the full story in the Times Union.
This has been the WGXC Congressional Report, tracking the votes, statements, positions, and campaigns of the representatives and candidates for the 18th, 19th, 20th, and 21st congressional seats in New York. Go to WGXC.org for more information.
This is Otis M. Carson. I'm from NYC, and you're listening to WGXC Acra Hudson Catskill.
After a long absence on local stages, Catskill's Brian DeWan is performing back locally again on Thursday, December 22nd. It's his annual holiday program, and this year it is at the Avalon Lounge in Catskill from 7 to 9 p.m. on Thursday, December 22nd. WGXC should have a live webcast of the performance. It may also be on the FM airwaves. So tune in or turn out to the Avalon Lounge in Catskill Thursday, December 22nd for Catskill's Brian DeWan's return to local stages and his annual holiday show Thursday, December 22nd at the Avalon Lounge.
Waif Farm respectfully and humbly acknowledges the past, present, and future Indigenous peoples on whose ancestral lands Waif Farm and WGXC operate and broadcast. The Mohicans name themselves the people of the waters that are never still following their arrival along the Great Ebb Tide River, also known as the Hudson. The Mohicans stewarded this land over many generations and in dynamic communication and interaction with diverse Indigenous peoples, including the Haudenosaunee Mohawk and the Munsee Lenape. Mohican descendants today live in communities in Ontario, Wisconsin, and Oklahoma. For more information on Mohican history and the contemporary community of the Stockbridge-Munsee Band of Mohican Indians, please visit mohican.com.
I was just going to lie down for 5 minutes, take a little nap.
Yeah, a regular Rip Van Winkle.
Who?
Another guy that took a little nap, woke up and didn't know where he was.
Welcome, radio listeners. You're listening to Bound by Books Youth Radio on WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, and Hudson. Listener-supported radio for open ears. I'm Emily. I'm the director of the Hudson Area Library, and I'm from Hudson.
I'm Amelia. I am also from Hudson.
And we're here every week talking about books.
Books we love, books we hate.
And bookish things. Mm-hmm. And we're usually joined by our young friends, Fatia and Georgia, but they could not make it today. But Amelia and I are here.
Very small show today.
It's the Amelia and Emily show.
The two E's.
We've been doing radio together a long time.
Yeah, we have.
Talked about a lot of books.
I've been here since we were in the old studio.
Yep. Yeah, I forget. I have a record somewhere of like everybody's first shows, but I'm not going to look it up. It's a long time ago. That's all you need to know. But yeah, so we're going to talk about some books. I guess before we dive right in, we just crossed over into the new year, and I'm wondering if you have any reading highlights from last year.
Reading highlights. Past few years have been really busy with college and stuff. Since I went to SNHU, I like mostly read online and had like pretty intensive work schedules. Mostly I'm just relieved that I'm going to be able to have more free time to read now. But yay, some reading highlights for me. Oof, let me try and remember. I reread some old ones that I always liked, and I got to read a lot of cool short stories for college. I think I mostly enjoyed reading a lot of like classical poetry in my poetry class. I became a huge fan of Emily Dickinson this year, so, which I never expected to happen, but those were some highlights.
Nice.
I enjoyed that.
I was just talking with my niece earlier today, and she was happy to report that they had learned about poetry today.
Ooh.
So she learned the difference between poetry and prose, and then they went to the library and they looked for books on poetry to get ideas for building a classroom library, which I thought was really cute. And then she wrote a poem with me about silly pants. It's very fun.
What are your reading highlights for this year?
Yeah, I was trying to think if I had like a, I don't know, like a new author or like a genre that like really stood out, but I kind of read all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't have anything like that, but I did recently finished my 2022 reading challenge, and I read 780 books last year. Woo!
Yay!
It's a lot of books.
My dad, my mom,
a lot of picture books.
Yeah, my mom and my dad do the Goodreads challenges. Mm-hmm. I don't know if they made theirs this year, but that's something they do.
Yeah, that was where I keep track too. But every month I pick out 9 books that stand out for me. And I make a little image and I post it online so that I can, it's like a nice way to keep track outside of Goodreads too, or just to have a visual.
That's fun.
I can be like, these were some of my favorites. So that if somebody asks me if I've read anything good lately, I can look at this, these past couple months of images and be like, oh, that one you might like.
that's really useful.
So yeah, I had a lot of really great books that I read this year. There is one series that I read. It's only 2 books, but I read both books this year that I really enjoyed. Was The Turtle of Oman and The Turtle of Michigan,
mm-hmm,
by Naomi Shihab Nye, and those were both really great. So I read one back in January, and then I read the other one maybe in November, but sometime this fall. It was a newer release,
mm-hmm,
and that was really good. I found a new graphic novel that I really enjoyed. I read a lot of really good graphic novels, but just recently I read The Nice House on the Lake, which I'm blanking on the author now. It's James Tinian, I think is his name. He also wrote Something is Eating the Children. Something's Killing the Children, not eating, sorry.
Something is Killing the Children, I know.
They're both scary, but
yeah,
you know.
I have the first graphic novel, I think, yeah, for the series, I think.
I just think the title, Something is Eating the Children, is somehow scarier.
It is.
I'm not sure why. So I take it back. They're not eating the children, they're killing them. Still bad, but But yeah, so I'm looking forward to reading both more from those series, but also more from that author.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. And then I have like, I mean, there's like a lot of book highlights. One author that I only read one book from this year, but I'm excited to read more from, because this was, I sort of had her books on my radar for a while, but never got around to reading them. And I finally did this year. And that's Stacy Lee. And so I read Luck of the Titanic. She writes a lot of historical fiction featuring Asian characters. And it's mostly young adult, although I know she has a middle grade novel coming out this year. And so I'm not sure if that's her first middle grade or if I'm just not aware of her middle grade work, but I'm excited to read more from her too. But yeah, lots of great books I read this year. And I don't know if I have a reading goal for this year. I mean, I set a goal in the challenge, but I don't even remember what I set. And usually what happens is I set a goal and then midway through the year, I realize that I set it too low and then I extend it because I don't want to reach my goal like midsummer.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see. But I do want to make more time for reading, even though I read a lot.
Yeah.
Maybe read a few less picture books, although that sounds horrible saying it because I love picture books so much. But maybe I can be a little bit pickier about which ones I read. Mm-hmm. They are very fun. But it's very easy because they tend to be shorter. It's easier to read ones that aren't as good. Because like if I'm reading a novel and it's not very good, I'll usually give it up, you know, a few chapters in. But with a picture book, it's like, you might as well finish it. Not that much farther to go.
Yeah.
But we'll see. I'll have to see what draws my attention. I'm in the middle of a adult novel right now that had also been on my list for a bit. It's The Sentence by Louise Erdrich. And she does have some books for youth, but she primarily writes for an adult audience. And this one is set during the COVID pandemic. And it's about a woman who works at an independent bookstore, which Louise Erdrich also has a bookstore. So I assume it is at least somewhat based on her experiences running a bookstore.
Yeah.
But it's not a memoir. So it's very good so far. I don't know if it'll live up to The Roundhouse, which was my favorite so far that I've read by her.
Hmm.
Which would be a really great crossover novel, I think, for teens. So this one so far, I think, does read a little bit more adult, but still good. But anyways, what have you been reading lately?
I haven't been reading anything yet, but I do have some new books I got for Christmas.
Oh,
I've been working my way through the book Tender is the Flesh still, which is a book you have to read in segments because it's a really rough read, but it's very good so far. And the two books I got for Christmas are Playground by Erin Beauregard, which, if I had to describe it, is like R-rated Goosebumps, kind of straight up, like complete with like the illustrations and everything. It is about low-income families with children being hired to test playground equipment that are more like saw traps than playground equipment, but they're It's very interesting, and I saw it and I was like, you know what, that's what I want to traumatize myself with this year. Give me that.
Sounds horrible.
Yeah. But you know,
such an uplifting novel.
I grew up on Goosebumps and Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark, so this is like the natural progression from that, I suppose.
Yeah, I really thought when you started that sentence that you were going to say I grew up playing on these death trap like
I wish. that would be an interesting childhood to have. And then the other one is a book called Cows by Matthew Stokoe, which I know nothing about. I'm going into this one completely blind. I just saw it on a list and I was like, you know what, I like cows, let's read that.
Is it about cows?
It is actually about cows, which is probably the most surprising thing about it. I expected it to be like a grand metaphor, but there are apparently cows in this book.
Okay. Very cool. I didn't get any books for Christmas.
Oh, no.
But I didn't ask for them either.
I didn't have my wish list, so.
I did give just about everybody books for Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
My nephew, I did not get a book for because I had a book in mind, but I wasn't going to be able to get it in time. And he really wanted this computer game. So I bought him that. But yeah, I like gifting books. I'm usually pretty good at picking them out, but we'll see. Yeah.
I'm very sad because I did not get to go to the winter walk this year because it was raining. Aww. But there's always next year.
It wasn't raining by the time I went. Should have just gone later.
Well, I was also sick, so.
Oh, then maybe there you should stay home and rest.
There are multiple reasons to stay home from the winter walk this particular year.
Yeah.
But, you know, oh well, things happen.
Yeah, it was fun though. Well, because I've been reading this Louise Erdrich book, I haven't had time to read any teen or middle grade books, but I thought I would share a couple descriptions of ones that are coming out this week or next. And so I haven't read these yet, but they sounded really good and they've gotten some really good reviews. The first one is called The Love Match, and it's by Priyanka Taslim. And this is a book for teens, and I'll read the description. "To All the Boys I've Loved Before meets Pride and Prejudice in this delightful and heartfelt rom-com about a Bangladeshi-American teen whose meddling mother arranges a match to secure their family's financial security, just as she's falling in love with someone else. Zara Khan is basically Bangladeshi royalty, but being a princess doesn't pay the bills in Paterson, New Jersey. While Zara's plan for financial security this summer involved working long hours at Chai Ho and saving up for college writing courses, Amma is convinced that all Zara needs is a good match, Jane Austen style. Enter Haroon Iman, who's wealthy, devastatingly handsome, and aloof. As soon as Zara meets him, she knows it's a bad match. It's nothing like the connection she has with Naeem Akhtar, the new dishwasher at the tea shop, who just gets Zara in a way no one has before. So when Zara finds out that Haroon is just as uninterested in this match as she is, they decide to slowly sabotage their parents' plans. And for once in Zara's life, she can have her rasa malai and eat it too. Dating Haroon and keeping Amma happy while catching real feelings for Naeem. But life and boys can be more complicated than Zara realizes. With her feelings all mixed up, Zara discovers that sometimes being a good Bengali kid can be a royal pain." That is The Love Match by Priyanka Taslim, and it came out January 3rd. I'm interested about this one in part because I think it's cool that it's about a Bangladeshi-American teen. I think a lot of books that are about South Asian experiences are about Indian teens. Every once in a while, I've seen some that are Pakistani teens, but I haven't come across any or maybe many, if I have, about Bangladeshi American teens. So I thought that was pretty cool. That just sounds like a fun romance with some complications, maybe a love triangle of sorts.
Yeah, it does sound fun.
And I'm not much of a romance reader, but this kind of romance story I can get into.
Mm-hmm.
When it's like kind of like hijinks and twists and turns.
Yeah, I can get behind that. I can definitely get behind that.
Yeah. So the next one I'll mention is called For Lamb by Lisa Klein Ransom, who is a local author from down in Rhinebeck and who frequently comes to the Hudson Children's Book Festival. And most of her books are for kids.
And the book she has this year, right?
Yeah. I don't know for sure if she's coming, but I hope she is. She writes a lot of nonfiction picture book biographies, and then she has some middle grade books, but I think this might be her first teen book. I might be wrong, but I think most of her books have been middle grade that were chapter books. But yeah, so this is called For Lamb, and here is the description. An interracial friendship between two teenage girls goes tragically wrong in this powerful historical novel set in the Jim Crow South. For Lamb follows a family striving to better their lives in the late 1930s Jackson, Mississippi. Lamb's mother is a hardworking, creative seamstress who cannot reveal she is a lesbian. Lamb's brother has a brilliant mind and has even earned a college scholarship for a black college up north, if only he could curb his impulsiveness and rebellious nature. Lamb herself is a quiet and studious girl. She is also naive, as she tentatively accepts the friendly overtures of a white girl who loans her a book she loves. She sets off a calamitous series of events that pulls in her mother, charming hustler uncle, estranged father and brother, and ends in a lynching. Told with nuance and subtlety, avoiding sensationalism and unnecessary brutality, this young adult novel from celebrated author Lisa Klein Ransom pays homage to the female victims of white supremacy. So that one, of course, is a very different tone than The Love Match, more of a serious novel. But Lisa Klein Ransom's a great author, and I'm sure she'll do this story justice and create great characters that help tell the story.
All kinds of new releases out.
Yeah, there's so much. So I'll just share one more. And this one is a middle grade novel, and it's by Gordon Corman, who I don't think I've ever read anything by, which I'm sort of shocked by. And I know Georgia is a fan of some of his books. But this one is called The Super Teacher Project, and it is coming out, and For Lamb, it's coming out January 10th, and so is this one. From Gordon Corman, the best-selling author of Restart and The Unteachables, comes a hilarious new story about a mysterious new teacher who turns out to be an AI robot from a secret experimental program. Oliver Zahn, spitball champion and self-declared rule wrecker of Breitling Middle School, is not a fan of his new homeroom teacher, Mr. Adact. The guy is sort of stiff, never cracks a smile, and refers to them as pupils. The worst part is he catches Oliver before he can pull any of his signature pranks. It's time for Oliver and his best friend Nathan to show the new teacher who's boss. But as the weeks go by, they start to realize that Mr. Adact is not what they expected. He has an uncanny ability to remember song lyrics or trivia. When the girls' field hockey team needs a new coach, he suddenly turns out to be an expert. He never complains when other teachers unload work on him, even when it's lunchroom duty and overseeing detention. Against all odds, Mr. Adact starts to become the most popular teacher at Breitling. Still, Oliver and Nathan know that something is fishy. They're determined to get to the bottom of the mystery. What's the deal with Mr. Adact? Well, the first sentence in this description gave it away. But
honestly, I don't think I'd be as interested if I didn't already know the teacher was an AI, so it kind of works in its favor.
Yeah, it's interesting. I don't know that I would want an AI robot teacher. Could be interesting.
I mean, one of the other things that I love almost as much as like books about dragons is books about robots, so it fits.
Oh yeah,
I do. I like robots. I think they are very cool.
I don't know that I've read many books with robots. I read the Cyborg Cinderella book. But cyborgs are not the same.
Cinder,
as
that was called Cinder. It was that was hugely popular for a while, especially when I was in school.
Yeah, that was a fun series.
I don't know whatever happened to those books. Did it eventually? Did they eventually end the series?
I'm not sure. I can't remember how many of them I read. I read at least the first two, and then I don't know if they ever like brought it all together in like a big conclusion, or because I didn't finish them. But I don't think there are more. I think they might be done.
I read the first book and it didn't really catch my interest. I didn't really understand what the big deal was.
I enjoyed it. I liked the second one a lot. I forget what it was, but it was, I think it was Red Riding Hood themed.
I think so too. Because there was one about Rapunzel as well, based off, the Rapunzel, but I never got to that one. I just remember seeing the cover.
Yeah, I'm blanking on what the second one was called, but I remember liking the characters in that one a lot. And it still brought in the Cinder character.
Yeah.
Well,
Yeah, because I know they all took place within the same universe.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, so those are the books I wanted to share today.
Cool.
I think if I had to read just one, I would read The Love Match, but I'm probably going to read at least the first two.
Mm-hmm.